here in the week right before Easter, and the Lord has put on my heart just a few thoughts that I want to bring to you on this Wednesday surrounding the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to take a great deal of time this Wednesday evening, but I want to just look at a few things dealing with the cross leading up to Easter this coming Sunday. When we think about the cross of Christ, so often our thoughts go to just the crucifixion itself, and that is so vital and so important. And we think about the events of the crucifixion. We think about the words that Jesus said while he was on the cross of Calvary. We think about the miracles surrounding the cross and those things that took place, and all of those so very, very important and so wondrous to think about. But there are two verses that are found in the gospel record of Mark that the Lord has impressed on my heart that I just want to think about and look at for just a few minutes today and just impress on our hearts. So in Mark chapter number 15, I want to look at these two verses and then just think about a few things from these verses for you to think about and us to think about in these few moments we have together in the Word of the Lord. Notice in Mark chapter number 15, in verses 40 and 41, it says, "There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." Those two verses I want to think about for just a little bit. I'm thinking this evening on this thought of the loyalty at the cross. The loyalty at the cross. The word loyalty is defined as the attitude of devoted attachment and affection to something. It speaks of faithfulness or devotion to a cause or an individual. We live in a day that loyalty is becoming more and more a rare commodity. We see it personally when people we thought we could count on let us down when things get tight. We see it in the home life when husbands and wives would rather walk away than work through their problems. We see it in the workplace when companies are more concerned about the bottom line than they are about people. And sadly, we even see it in church life when people we thought we could count on turn us away when we don't measure up to their ideals. You see, life is becoming more and more a dog-eat-dog mentality, more about how it benefits me than how it may hurt someone else. It's more about what I want rather than what may be best for everyone else. With all of the horrible sights that we could find on Golgotha that fateful day, there was something beautiful that was found in these simple verses of our text. It is here that we find loyalty at the cross and some reasons for that loyalty. In our day, there is still beauty seen in a loyalty to the cross of Jesus. We too have reasons why this loyalty ought to be found in us. So this today, I'd like to just look for a moment at this loyalty at the cross and at these women that were there. So notice, first of all, as we look at this, notice with me the women. It says in verse number 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and of Salome. So we look, all four gospel records mention something about the women being there at the cross. Now, John, in his gospel record, also mentions Mary, the mother of Jesus, being there, though Mark doesn't mention her. In John 19 and verse number 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. But Mark mentions only these three women. So I ask the question, who are these three women? So first of all, he mentions Mary Magdalene. So we are introduced to Mary Magdalene, first of all, in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 2. It says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, or Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Now, when Mary is called Mary Magdalene, it isn't that the name Magdalene is not a part of her name, but it identifies the name of the town of Magdala. That is a little town south of Capernaum, and it is her hometown. So it identifies that is where this Mary came from. So when it calls her Mary Magdalene, it is saying that this Mary came from the little town of Magdala. But it says that she had demons cast out of her. Mary Magdala, Mary Magdalene, was there that day. And no doubt the reason that she was there was because this man named Jesus had changed her life. She remembered where she was at when he had found her and what he had done in her heart. Could I say today, that ought to be the motivation enough for any of us to remain loyal to him today, to remember where he found us, to remember where we were at, lost and undone without him. Sinners on our way to a devil's hell. Sinners lost and undone. And he found us lost in our sins and redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. That ought to be enough to cause us to want to remain loyal to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can't help but believe that's why Mary Magdalene was there that day, because she knew where Jesus had found her. She knew how he had changed her life. But then there was Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph. That name Joseph is another form of the name Joseph. Now, this James that is mentioned here, James the Less, was not the famous name James, which is the brother of John, but was identified as James the Less. And at times he was also called James the son of Alphaeus. But he was one of the 12 disciples. And by being called James the Less, it seems to mean that he was shorter in stature than James, the brother of John. And that's how they identified him, to distinguish him between the two Jameses. James, the brother of John, was one of them. And this one who was the son of Mary, they would call James the Less because he was the shorter of the two. But she was there that day. But I asked the question, where was her son that day? He was one of the 12 disciples. But it doesn't mention that he was there. But his mother was. She was one of the women mentioned by name that was there at the cross. James, his mother, James the Less, his mother was there that day. And then there was the third woman. Her name was Salome, or Salome. She was there. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 55 and 56 says this about her. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So identifies Salome, or Salome, as being the mother of James and John. Now we know that John was there because Jesus committed his mother into his care. But where was James? It doesn't say he was there, but his mother was there. So these women were there. And so I'm going to say a little bit about them beholding afar off in a little bit. And so they were there. They were beholding the cross. They were watching what was going on. So these three women, that tells us something about who they were. But they loved the Lord, and they were there, loyal to the cross because of their love for the Lord. That's why we ought to be loyal to the cross, is our love for Him, our love for what He's done for us, our love for how He's changed our life, our love for how He cares for us, our love for all He's done in our life and our heart, to be loyal to the cross. So we see the women. Secondly, see the work. See the work. It says in verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. Two things it says about these women. They're following the Lord. That word followed is a word that means to be in the same way with. They were going his way. And that's what a true follower of Christ does. We often call ourselves followers of Christ. But so often when the going gets tough, when the way gets hard, or when the road gets rocky, people will turn and go another way. And some will even toss in the towel and quit following him. But a true follower of Christ will be faithful through it all. and they will follow him in trust and obedience. I was talking to my mom and my sister just the other day, and we were talking about the situation we're going through right now because of the COVID-19, that we're not able to gather in the house of the Lord like we'd want to and desire. And we all miss it. I miss it so greatly, being able to gather and worship as we do. I miss that. And you miss that. To be able to come in the house of the Lord, to sit in our places, to fellowship, to worship. And I know it will come. It'll come in time. We will be together again. We will. But I was talking to my mom and my sisters the other day, and I made this statement to them like this. I said, people who really love the Lord and people who really love the house of God, when the time comes, they will fall right back in place in the house of the Lord because they love him and they love the church. They'll not fall out. They'll not drop out, but they'll fall right back in if they truly love him and they truly love the house of the Lord. And my sister even, she spoke up and she said, that's right. And she said, you know what? They even may be more faithful than they've ever been because of what they've gone through. And I said, you're right. You see, people who love him, people who love him and love the cross, they will follow him and be faithful to him. Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 8 in verse 34. He said, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, when Jesus met the disciples on the shores of Galilee, his words to Peter were this, follow thou me. And that is still the call to us as his disciples, to go his way and not our way. I ask you today, are you going your way or his way? His way is faithfulness. His way is following him. His way is obedience. His way is trusting him. So I say, if you love him, if you serve him, it's going his way. Even right now, when things are not like we want them, even when times are tough, even in times of sickness, even in times of difficulty, even in times of detour. And hey, right now our lives are detoured. I never saw this coming when the year started. I never imagined on January the 1st that here at the first part of April we'd be dealing with this. But he did. He did. So now I believe he's saying to you and I today, will you still serve me? Will you still follow me? Will you still be faithful to me? Will you still be loyal to me? So I challenge you today, let's be faithful in following him. So that is not just what I see here. Not only they're following him, but notice their faithfulness. Their following and their faithfulness. I see it in their ministering. Notice that word ministering. It says they ministered unto him. That word ministered is the same Greek word from which later on comes the word deacon. Deacon. It is the same Greek word. It's a word that means to wait upon or to serve. It's a word that speaks of a willingness to sacrifice, to step down in humility, to serve Him as best you can. Oh, my land, think about that right now. To serve Him as best you can. It probably meant for them to provide meals for the Lord and His disciples, to prepare food for the Lord, to minister just any way that they could. Listen, we can look right now at ways that we can minister for the Lord. You say, preacher, I can't come to church right now. I can't do anything. Hey, let me just throw out some ideas. Can you make a phone call? Can you call some of the folk in the church and just say, hey, I just wanted to call and check on you, see if you're all right. Can you send a text to somebody and just say, hey, I was thinking about you. I know we can't be at church right now, but I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. It may be, I know we're doing social distancing and we have a stay-at-home order, but maybe you can make a phone call. Maybe you can send a text. It may be that you've got some stamps at home. Maybe you can mail a card. Sanitize it if you need to. Spray a little Lysol on it and put some gloves on. Stick it in the mail. You say, preacher, that's silly. No, I'm just being honest with you. I'm saying, listen, there are ways. If you don't want to risk anything by mailing something, then send a text, make a phone call, send an email. I'm just saying, listen, there are ways we can minister to one another right now. That's what following Jesus is all about. See, no doubt there were limitations for them for what they could do, but they did what they can do. Some people are more content grumbling about what they can't do than doing what they can do. There are a lot of people, they'll grumble about what they can't do, but yet they'll never do what they can do. Now, not everybody is called to a specific ministry or service, but we all have a place of ministry that we can serve. Not everybody is called to largeness of service. Not everybody is called to be a preacher. Not everybody is called to be a missionary. Not everybody is called to be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody is called. But God didn't call us for largeness of service. He calls us to faithfulness of service. Their work was faithfully done while the Lord was in Galilee. And now, they couldn't fix a meal for Him. Right now, they couldn't do a whole lot for Him. He was hanging on the cross. But what did they do? They stood by the cross. There may not be a whole lot you can do right now, but you can stay faithful. Stay faithful. What can I do, preacher? You can pray. You can pray. Pray for your church daily. Ask God to protect our church family till this is over. Pray for our nation. Pray that God will bring an end to this pandemic, that we can gather again in the house of the Lord. You can pray. I'm just saying, ask God, Lord, show me what I can do that I can minister for you. I'm telling you, there are things that we can do. Can I tell you something else about these women? Can I just point it out to you in the scriptures? These women stood by the cross. I'm telling you something about the loyalty at the cross. But if you'll notice chapter 16 and verse number 1, It says, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him. There was not only loyalty at the cross, there was also love at the grave in these same women. These same women that were loyal at the cross, they were showing love at the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithful. Revelation 2 and 10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. But oh, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Can I tell you something today? During these days that we are unable to do a lot of things, there are rewards that you can lay up in glory by being faithful in some little things. I'm talking about little things of praying, little things of encouraging, little things that nobody else may know anything about except God in heaven. You can be faithful in some little things. I'm not saying going out and visiting somebody, because right now you got to stay at home. But you can do some little things that maybe nobody else knows anything about. But God in heaven's keeping a record, and one day he'll reward you. But notice not only the women and the work, but lastly, see their witness. The last part of verse 41 says, and many other women which came up with him into Jerusalem. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Just a thought. I wonder if some of these other women that came were influenced by the witness of these three women. I can't say for sure, but I do know that our lives touch other lives. And we never know who we influence by what we say and by what we do. But on the other hand, them being there that day was a witness to everyone that were there about them that they were loyal to Jesus. You see, it would have been easy for them to walk away that day. As a matter of fact, it could have proven dangerous to be identified with Jesus, but there they were. I ask the question again, where were the other disciples? John was there, we know that. Judas Iscariot was dead, but where was Peter? He may have been looking on somewhere at a distance. Where was Thomas? Matthew, James, and the others. I don't know. They're not mentioned. But these women were there. G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher of days gone by, said about these women that they were hopeless, disappointed, bereaved, heartbroken. But the love he had created in those hearts for himself could not be quenched even by his dying, could not be overcome even though they were disappointed, could not be extinguished even though the light of hope had gone out. And over the sea of their sorrow, there was no sighing wind that hold of the tone. They were not ashamed to be identified with Jesus that day. I ask you today, are we ashamed of him? Are we ashamed of what others may think of us or say of us because of him? I mentioned earlier, it says that they were looking on afar off. And I said I would mention that later. You say, preacher, why were they looking on afar off? I believe in my heart that they stood afar off, that they were looking on, because I believe it wasn't because they were ashamed of him, but I believe they could hardly stand to see what he was being put through. The one they loved so dearly and the one they cared for so much, they could not stand to see him hurt as he did. I believe it broke their heart that much. I say in conclusion today about this lady named Salome or Salome. She was the one that just before his crucifixion had been the one that had asked about a place for her sons. She had misunderstood his mission. She had misunderstood, been confused about all that he came to do. I say to you and I, sometimes we find ourselves confused, not about his redemption, but about his dealings. But even when we don't understand, even when we can't comprehend his pain, and even when we don't know why things may be as they are, I challenge your heart and mine to stay by the cross, because it is a tremendous witness to this world when those who don't know him see such faithfulness in us. They can't help but take notice that there is something different in our lives. So I challenge you today, and especially in these days, stand near the cross. Stay loyal to the cross. This thing is going to end. There is going to come a time, I don't know when, I don't know how long it may last, but stay loyal to the cross. Stay loyal to the Savior. Do what you can in faithful service and ministering for his glory. And when it comes to an end and we're able to come together, we'll worship him again as we want to and as we desire. And we'll press on for the glory and the honor of God, hopefully more faithful than we've ever been. As someone said to me recently, someone made the statement to me that they didn't think they would ever take for granted gathering in the house of God again. I hope God will put that in all of our hearts, that we'll never take for granted again the awesome privilege of gathering in his house and worshiping him and honoring his name. Just a few thoughts the Lord put in my heart in these two verses about being loyal to the cross. I hope it's been a blessing and a challenge to you. Thank God for his word. Be loyal to the cross.